Amen. Today's scripture is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, I want to say a huge thanks to our worship team this morning. Our worship director, Beck, is up leading at our North Indy campus. And I think every time I watch a volunteer team step into that role, I'm just in awe, and I'm humbled, and I'm grateful. So, worship team, thank you so much for leading us today. Well, we're in the second week of our series called The Faith of Trees. And if you weren't here last week, I want to sort of lay out why we're doing a series like this. One of the things you might have picked up from being here at St. Luke's Midtown or just knowing St. Luke's in the community is that we believe so strongly in the action that our faith tells us to take, in the way that we engage with what's going on in the world. And it's not even really just a St. Luke's thing. It's actually a United Methodist thing. I've brought with me a prop today. It's the United Methodist Social Principles. I know you're excited. Actually, I will tell you, this is not on the script, Keith. Just stay with me. It's okay. I will tell you, when I first became Methodist, this was one of the reasons, because I saw that it was a church that went through and thought about all of these different issues happening in our world and said, hey, our faith has something to say about this. Our faith informs how we respond. So that's a side note. If you want to know more about this, you can look at this book after the service. So we're all about the things that we do, and we're also all about the things that are going on in our souls. Because we know that healthy souls lead to healthy, sustained action in the world. And so this is a series that's about that, about tending to what's going on inside of us, because we know that it's just as important as what we do out here. And so today, as we continue that conversation, we're going to explore this question of what do you leave behind? I'm going to make that joke one more time, I promise. So those of you that are not here for the puns, don't worry. But the serious question that we have is, what is the impression that we make on the people that we encounter? What do we need to cultivate within ourselves to make sure that we're leaving behind something that reflects the faith that we have and that reflects something important about who God is? Last week, I told you a little bit about the trees in my yard. So I've got these four giant trees, two tulips and two oaks. And I told you all about how they like to bless us with the abundance of their leaves every fall. But our trees also give us a little gift in the late spring and early summer around June, because that is the time of the year where our tulip trees become home to aphids. Does anyone have tulip trees in their yard? Has anyone experienced the aphid infestation? So what aphids are, they're these teeny tiny little bugs. Like, you would probably never notice them if you weren't looking for them. But what they do to the trees is they get on the underside of the leaves, and they just chow down. They love these leaves, and that would be fine. I want them to have the food that they want. But the problem is that when they eat the underside of the leaves, it creates this sticky, nasty sap that rains down on everything under the trees. Fun fact about my home, We do not have a garage. My driveway, where there's space to park two cars, is underneath these two tulip trees. And so during the early parts of June, when we come out to go to work or to school, we find our cars covered in this sap, covered in leaves, covered in aphids. And also, just to make this ecosystem even more fun, while the aphids like to eat the leaves, would you like to know what likes to eat the aphids? Hornets. I know, some of you are like, this sounds like a horror film. Let me tell you what's not so bad. The hornets eat so many aphids that they basically just sleep on the hood of our cars. And the first time we discovered this, we were like, who's going to be the one that goes to the car and risks our whole life? They were asleep. They didn't even care. Zach raised his hand. He was like, it was me. I was the one that risked my life. There was really no question about it, right? That's what happened. He is so brave, I agree. Well, needless to say, we spend a lot of time at the car wash in early June. But despite the annoyance of this whole process, the aphids' presence, the tree's response, it leaves a memorable impression. This only happens about 3 weeks out of the entire year, but our family talks about it all throughout the year. We have this very weird shared cord memory of this sap on our cars and the wasps and all the things. And I think people are a little bit like this too. When we show up, we leave some kind of impression. Whether we realize it or not, it might be good, it might be bad. When we engage with people, when we respond to something or we choose not to respond to something, the general vibe that we put forward, we don't always think about it, but the way that we show up, it matters because people notice and people remember. I think especially as people of faith, this matters in a different way. Because it doesn't just matter in our individual interactions. I think it matters about what story gets told about what it means to be someone who's known as a Christian, what it means to follow Jesus. There's so many ways that these stories get shaped in our world. And I do know that many of these stories get shaped by the things that we see on the news or the bigger narrative. But if you think about your own story, or you think about the people that you're in relationship with, a lot of the times, these stories get shaped by those one-on-one moments, by the way that people of faith show up. And so it matters. We're reading out of the book of Philippians today. And in this book, we see Paul's instructions to a group of people where he's trying to give them guidance on what it means to show up in the world, what he hopes that God will be doing in the hearts of people who say, yes, we follow Jesus, we call ourselves the church. Paul writes this letter to this church while he's in prison, and he hopes, I think, not just to give instructions, but he wants to give them encouragement too. He's well aware of the state of the world that the people of this church are living in. He knows that they're seeing things happen in their world that are distressing and heartbreaking and maybe even just scary. He knows that for so many reasons, the times these folks are living in, they're so difficult. But he also believes that the church can leave an impression. He believes that the church can hold on to hope. And so Paul gives them the encouragement that he does in this letter, I think because it's true for this community he's writing to, but it's true for us too, is that sometimes it can be really easy to stop reflecting what we know about Jesus and to just start reacting to the things that are going on around us, reacting to the fears that we hold. And that is not a criticism of that church or our church or anyone. I think that's just something that makes us human. I was a psychology major in my undergrad, which is not a recent experience that I've had. But one of the things that I do remember from that and that I'm still pretty interested in is something called stimulus response theory. And it's the basics of how people respond to their environment. You know, we're people living in a world where there's all kinds of external stimuli coming at us. Maybe it's the conversation you had in the break room at work. Maybe it's the light that you couldn't catch on green and you had to slam on your brakes, right? We experience all these different things. And when we experience a stimulus, we respond to it. We react to it. Sometimes we think about it. Sometimes we just do whatever we do on instinct. But as we keep being exposed to different stimulus in our world, we start to build habits. We start to build these ways that are just ingrained in us. Well, okay, when my kid does this thing, this is what I do every single time. And we see these patterns. But I think when I read this scripture and this letter that Paul writes, what I find myself wondering is, what if our responses could be driven by something different? What if our reactions could be interrupted? Not that we block out what's happening, not that we become apathetic, but what if we could be shaped more by what the Spirit is doing in us and less than simply reacting to whatever's going on around us? The world that the people of this church were living in is a harsh place. But Paul says to them, okay, when you encounter harshness, what if you didn't have to respond in a harsh way? The systems that are governing their society, they're built on power and oppression. And Paul says, okay, but what if you could choose to be gentle even in the face of those things? Paul himself is in prison as he writes this, and he knows that he's probably going to end up executed at some point for his faith and his work. And he says, friends, even in the face of that, what if you could choose hope and not give in to despair? I don't think Paul wants to downplay the reality of what these people are living in, but I do think he wants to remind them of their faith and remind them of the power of the community that they're in. I was talking to a pastor the other day who I ran into at coffee. This happens when you're a pastor. You sit down and there's like 10 other pastors in the coffee shop. Look around next time you're in a coffee shop. You're going to see it. So I was talking to a pastor the other day and he was like, you know, how are things going? What are you kind of holding right now? And I said, I think the hardest thing I'm holding right now is this tension that I feel when I read this letter from Paul. Because when we come to this place, I never want to downplay the very real fear that a lot of us feel living in this world. I never want to tell you, hey, you've got to leave all that hard stuff out there and come in here and just be happy because we're talking about Jesus, right? Like, we don't have to do that. But I do wonder what it looks like to be rooted in something deeper than our immediate circumstances. And I'm praying that for me, Mindy, as a human being. I'm praying that for all of us as a church. What does it look like to be rooted in something that's truer than the chaos around us? And if we're rooted in those things, then what would God help come out of us when we interact with people in the different parts of our world? As Paul tries to help this community do something similar to that, to be so rooted in Christ that they show up in this certain way, one of the key things he focuses on in this letter is that they would let their gentleness be known to everyone. And gentleness is kind of an interesting word, because I think gentleness for us, we often have kind of a specific meaning that we assign to that. We think it's someone who's really meek and mild and soft-spoken. It can be that, but that's not actually the word that Paul uses here. I don't think that's exactly what Paul is telling this church to show up as. The word Paul uses here is a Greek word, apikos, which means reasonableness, forbearance, and consideration of others. In other words, I think Paul is inviting this church community to show up in a way that would be pretty unexpected. To show up in a world that would say, well, you should react this way. And then to say, no, we're actually going to do something different. We're going to do something that looks like the unexpected love of Jesus. We're going to practice kindness when we can. We're going to focus on the people around us and love them well. We're going to let people see that coming out of us. And maybe if we do those things, it'll change something about our world. Next week, the second season of the Netflix series Starting Five comes out. I don't know if any of you watched the first season of Starting Five. I did watch it with my son. He loves basketball, so now I love basketball as a response. But if you're a Pacers fan, you might be excited about the second season because Tyrese Haliburton is one of the featured players. Also, if you're a Pacers fan, you may be dreading the episode where they're going to rehash what happened in Game 7 of the NBA Finals. For some of us, that is a tender wound, and I'm sorry, I'm going to poke at it for just a tiny, tiny bit. Because what I'm hoping they show on this season of the documentary is what Tyrese Haliburton did after that Game 7. Because that has actually stuck with me since I watched it in real time in June. The nerdy pastor, I said, this is a sermon illustration. I'm ready. I'm putting it in the bank. I can't wait. Today is the day. I'm so glad. Because here's the thing. After this game, after this tough loss, after this devastating injury, right? It's this bad, bad situation. What we saw Tyrese Haliburton do is he stood in the tunnel that went back to the locker room, and he greeted and consoled every single one of his teammates. He's standing there. He's on crutches. He's present for his people. He's not back in the locker room sulking or throwing a fit. I thought, this is probably one of the lowest points of his entire career. And 16.4 million people watched it happen. But that is how he shows up. In a way that is kind and is, I would say, as Paul describes it, gentle, and that's there for his people. At the press conference after the game, his teammate TJ McConnell said this. I'm going to show you a really quick clip of what he described the moment.
Feeling sorry for himself after something like that happened, but he wasn't. He was up greeting us. You know, a lot of us were hurting from the loss, and he was up there consoling us. That's who Tyrese Haliburton is.
When I watched this clip, I made this connection of this is who he is, and so this is what he does. And I thought back to what Paul is writing to this church. And to me, that feels like the bottom line. Church, this is who you are, so this is what you can do. Let your gentleness be known. Be people who are grateful. Let Christ's peace be present in your life. And when you do this, you're not just going to tell people something about who you as an individual are, but you're going to tell people something about the church. You're going to tell people something about who Jesus is. And I think what's remarkable about when we show up in these ways is that these actions that we take, they speak so much louder than any words we can say. I actually find it really interesting, given Paul's context, where he's writing from, what his world is like. I think it is so interesting the things that he does not advise this group of people to do. Here's what he doesn't put on this list. He does not say, let your assertiveness be known. Let your strength be known. Let your power be known. Let your confidence be known. Let your knowledge be known. Let your toughness be known. Like, none of that enters the picture here. And it frustrates me when I read it because I think, Paul, all of that would have made so much sense to me. Those tools, they would have reflected the culture you were in. They would have reflected the obstacles you were up against. But you tell people to do the opposite of all of those logical things. And as I've sat with this text, the thought that I have that, frankly, I'm not that comfortable with, but I'm going to share it with you. Maybe we'll get comfortable together, is I'm just not sure we were made to out-tough the world that we're in. Like, when I encounter someone who's being, like, mean, or I encounter a stressful situation, I want to go into, like, I'm going to fight back mode. I don't know that we're created to out-tough our world and one-up the nastiness that we see around us. I don't think that's what God has created us to do. I think God has created us to reflect Jesus, and whether I like it or not, when Jesus shows up, Jesus tends to do the most disarming things. Jesus tends to choose gentleness and generosity and love and patience. I don't like that one at all. And Jesus tends to find the people that are said, we don't want anything to do with those people. Jesus says, I do. The way of Jesus is so different, and it's so surprising, and it has the power to create change, not just in the moments that we're in, but I think it has the power to create change in the whole story that we're telling. I started this message by talking about sort of the mess that trees can leave behind, but I want to end the message by talking about the nourishment that they leave as well. So our first couple of years as homeowners, and I'm not critiquing anyone's yard work here, so don't send me that email after this sermon, okay? But our first couple of years as homeowners, we spent a lot of work raking and bagging leaves. We wanted our space to look really pristine and neat and tidy. And then we learned about mulching your leaves. It was a life changer, okay? Because you don't have to rake and bag those leaves. You just mow them. You mow them. And not only do you save, yes, amen. Not only do you save, not only do you save time and energy, but you do something good for the soil. It adds nutrients. It reduces the amount of fertilizer you have to use. It's like a win-win situation. And it was so funny to me because all my life I had watched people or like once or twice been the person that had done the raking and bagging. And I thought, wait, there's a different way. There's a literally physically gentler way to do this task. I think sometimes we have to discover those different ways in our own selves and in our own responses. And I think the best news for us is it is never, ever, ever too late to learn those things. It is never too late to change, to pivot, to choose gentleness, even if we never knew it was an option before. We can always decide that we're going to leave something good behind because Jesus always gives us that choice. If you were here last week, you received a leaf. And last week we talked about true colors. So we use this as a prayer exercise to pray about God. What are the things that we would hope you would bring out of us when we're in moments of stress or challenge? And this week, I want to invite us back to this. If you didn't get one last week, there's a bunch of them in the back or on the Connection Center. Nancy Hopper can help you get one. But as the band comes up, I'm going to invite us to use this as a moment of prayer. I'm going to guide us through a prayer moment that we would pray about the things that we're leaving behind, that maybe you would consider that you have something to leave behind, that you can make an impact, whether it's big or small or somewhere in between. But as God's people, when we show up, we do something important. We change what's going on around us. And so that's what I want to guide our prayer today. Will you pray with me? God, we're in a season where we see the leaves falling all around us. We see them making their mark, making themselves known. And God, if we give ourselves the time and the space to pay attention, it's impossible to miss the changing colors and the growing ground cover around us. Holy Spirit, would you make our lives like these leaves? Would you be working in us in such a way that it is impossible for people to miss your presence? God, would you let us show up, whether that's at work or school, in our friendships, in our families, to moments of joy, to situations of pain, to all of it, God? Would you let us show up in a way that changes things for the better? Would you empower us, God, to leave every place we go better than it was before we arrived? Would you help us to remember who we are and then do those things? God, would you help us make our gentleness known to every single person we encounter? And as we do that, God, would you help the world look more like you would have it be? We pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.